Hi, everyone. I'm Tommy Reese, and this is Sports Day. Well, today we look back on the high school, college, and professional football career of Lovington, New Mexico native Brian Urlacher, who will officially be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio, as a Chicago Bear in August. Now, here's Lovington High School football coach Speedy Faith on his induction into the Hall.
Pretty excited, just like everybody else.
Boy, you ain't lying. I know you knew that he was being nominated, but when you heard the news that he was going to be inducted, what was your first reaction?
Well, I was just ecstatic. I really was. I tell you, I coached for 39 years, and towards the end of my career, I really never got too anxious for games. Friday and Saturday, I was nervous. It was hard, but I was really pleased. I'm Brian. He deserves it.
Now, what years did you coach him, Speedy?
The football years of 93, 94, and 95.
Okay.
And we won the state championship in 1995, which was his senior year, and he graduated that spring in 1996.
And went on to play for UNM, didn't he?
Yes, he went up there 4 years. Mm-hmm. He played 2 years under Dennis Franchione.
Right, right.
And then Coach Franchione left, went to TCU, and Rocky Long came in and took over the reins at the University of New Mexico.
What was it like coaching him?
And most of the times, especially his senior year, when we took the field, he was the best player on the field. And, you know, that doesn't happen in a small school, usually our size.
Right.
Usually the other team's going to have a better player, at least somebody very comparable. But most of the time, and probably we played 14 games, I would say probably 13 of those 14, he was by far the best player.
Mm-hmm.
We played him where he kind of ended up playing in college.
Uh-huh.
At a free safety position, and really just kind of gave him the freedom to roam and make plays, use his instincts, which he did very well in high school. And then offensively, we played him at receiver. And a lot of times we would set him over one side of the field and put three receivers on the other side of the field and see what they were going to do. And a lot of teams ended up doubling him, which opened up a lot of holes for us on the three receiver side or run the ball. So it wasn't rocket science by any stretch of the imagination, but we like to get the ball to Brian.
There you go. Now, I guess he was pretty athletic, so he played some other sports too there in Lovington?
He played everything. Many people think that he could have played collegiate basketball and maybe even played in the NBA. He was that talented.
Gosh.
And he ran track. He hated track. He hated to run, but he knew it was going to help him for football and to be an athlete, so he did it. And he toyed around a little bit with baseball, too. So
right.
He's quite the athlete.
What kind of young man was he growing up?
From a character standpoint, you can't ask for much better. He and his best friend, Brandon Ridenour, would just cruise Main Street, drag Main, and we never had to worry about them drinking alcohol. They kind of made a pact with each other, which was great because they were leaders in our school. They would drag Main and drink chocolate milk. Now, having said that, Brian was pretty ornery. He was he's a full-blooded boy. I mean, he was pretty mischievous, and he didn't mind pulling pranks and those kind of things, and he still does that. So he's quite a character, but a great kid.
Particular Absolutely. Funny story about him, Coach?
The pranks that he pulled, just nothing bad, but you know, just boy stuff. And it continued. We'd go up to Albuquerque for the Urlacher football camp each summer that he was playing, and you know, he'd end up pushing somebody over the back of somebody else, you know, little kids will do.
Right.
But it was fun. You had to keep your eyes open.
What motivated him?
He just loved the game of football. I mean, he said that several occasions. And really, football is the perfect sport for him. And what I mean by that is, in football, you really have to rely on your teammates. And Brian, above everything else, is a great teammate. You can ask anybody from high school, from college, all the way to the pros, his rookie year, all the way to his retiring year, 13 years later. He's just a consummate teammate. He loves his teammates. He would motivate you, help you in any way that he could. And he became a very good student of the game. And he just loves football.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that's one of the things that motivated him. The second thing was Brian knew, coming from his situation, that if he was going to go to college, he was going to have to get a football scholarship. And because if he didn't, he wasn't going to be able to go. And so that motivated him to work very hard in high school. But once he got to college, he just exploded as a player.
Right. What did he mean to you? Because a lot of kids, you know, a lot of the coaches are like father figures to them.
I don't think I can say that we had any more of a relationship than I did with other players. His home life was pretty stable. His mom was one of the hardest working people I've ever known. She, at one point, had three jobs to support her kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, she remarried to, and Brian's stepdad, Troy Leonard, was a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And kept him and the other two siblings in line. And so he had a pretty stable home life. They didn't have a lot, but, you know, it wasn't miserable.
Right.
So my relationship with Brian was much like it was with any other player. You know, going back to that incident about having him play football the right way and, you know, some of those kinds of things.
Right.
And, you know, maybe a little closer. The thing after he became professional, we still maintained a player-coach relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were around Brian, the people close to him, a lot of times didn't want to make him mad because he might cut them out of the circle or whatever.
Right.
So I don't know how good of advice he was getting all the time. But and I didn't, you know, hesitate to say, this is what I think, you
right.
know, about this situation. So,
how did you feel about his draft status?
The word was out by the time he was a senior that he was going to be drafted high. Everyone that we had talked to kind of felt like he was going to go in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by that time, and that's one of the reasons you don't finish is so you can get that agent, get good advice and
right.
information from the people that have the know. And it was pretty well known he was going to go in the first round. So he ends up going number 9 overall to the Bears, and
right.
it was just kind of an unbelievable situation.
Did he feel like a Chicago Bear to you? Do you feel that was the right fit for him?
I don't think, if you know, 32 football teams in the National Football League, you could not have picked a better place than Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The history of their defense, you know, it's just the Midway Monsters, it fit Brian to a T. I mean, it was perfect. It was absolutely the perfect place for him to go. And he thrived there. I mean, he really did.
Yeah.
The people in Chicago love Brian. Still to this day, they love him. They identify he's a hard worker,
right.
clean cut, you know, but blue collar, down to earth, just what you would want to be a Chicago person.
And mean on the football field, kind of like Butkus was, huh?
No doubt. He was Butkus reincarnated, except he was a lot faster and taller.
Right, so, right.
Brian really did. He came into the league at the time when passing was really starting to take off.
Right.
And he changed the middle linebacker position because in a defense they call Tampa 2,
mm-hmm.
The middle linebacker ends up going down the middle of the field having to cover receivers.
Right.
And not a lot of those guys could do that at that point, but Brian could and was very good at it. And it changed the way that people play defense in the NFL.
Right.
That's the reason, Tom, really,
uh-huh.
I think, that he made the Hall of Fame is because he was a middle linebacker. His stats are awesome, but he was able to cover receivers on deep patterns. Nobody had ever seen that before.
Did he ever share with you, Coach, the experience of playing against elite players like Favre and Tom Brady and those type of athletes?
Now we talked about it a few times while we were at camp, and we didn't go into great detail, but you know, he was one of those elite players, and the people that he played against recognized that. Aaron Rodgers has basically said he was the best middle linebacker that he ever had to face. I mean, the respect that they have for each other is just top-notch. And, you know, we talked, you know, Aaron Rodgers tackled him on an interception one time. And so we gig him pretty good about that, you know, letting the quarterback get you on a tackle. So, but he did talk about it, his uh-huh. opponents, but he has a tremendous respect for him.
13 years, boy, that's almost a lifetime in NFL. He really got a chance to really to define his career. A big reason why the voters decided to, hey, this is someone we need to put in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 13 years at middle linebacker position, especially the kind of defense that they mm-hmm. run, him being in the middle, because he had to take on offensive linemen. He had to take on those big fullbacks coming through there blocking, right. And it was, you know, rugged. And especially towards the end of his career, he talked about how each Monday morning it took a toll on him.
Mm.
But he was in great physical condition most of all that time, so he did well.
I remember when he was going to leave the Bears, and I thought, well, maybe he'll. Before he retired, I thought maybe he'll give it one more year and come play for Dallas.
I think he might have come and played for Dallas, but you know, that first fall after he retired, uh-huh. I had actually retired also, and so I was sitting in my recliner watching football, first or second week of the NFL season, and I texted him and I said, "Are you missing this?" And he texted me back and said, "Absolutely not." He says, "I know what kind of pain I'd be in tomorrow." So I think he's
goodness.
Enjoyed his retirement quite a bit.
Good. What's he doing now, Coach?
Basically nothing, everything.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a house in Chicago, his original house that he had.
Oh,
but he
okay.
also has a house in Arizona where his children live uh-huh. and go to school there. And so he's a great dad, Tom. I got to
yeah.
tell you. Of all of the things that I'm proud about, Brian,
mm-hmm.
This may sound funny, you know, being a Hall of Famer,
right.
which not very many guys get to do that, but I'm more proud of him being a father than anything else.
Mm.
He's raised his kids, his two girls, his boy,
mm-hmm.
and, man, they're good kids, and they have respect for adults, and
right.
yes, sir, no, sir, and, you know, that's when you feel successful as a coach,
gotcha.
Regardless of the sport. But when you think you might have contributed
uh-huh.
to a person becoming a man, that's when it's all worthwhile.
Exactly. Is the community, I know it's just early, thinking about having something huge for him in the summer?
Oh, probably. It is early. You know, we retired his football number 11 in mm-hmm. Lovington. It's been retired. So if we brought him back, we were also talking about putting up a new sign now,
right.
home of a Hall of Famer, Brian Urlacher. We had he had him in his Bear uniform at one time.
But that is cool.
I don't know. But the thing that he really did was he had a contract with Nike, an endorsement contract, and his first contract included that every football player would get a pair of cleats from Nike.
Wow.
And it went against his account. And then that expanded
mm-hmm.
until at one point, every athlete in every sport was getting shoes from Nike. He's a very generous person. He was involved in Special Olympics
mm-hmm.
very heavily at one time, autism. He'll give a speech in August, probably mm-hmm. August the 5th. I kind of teased him early on, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, that when he started getting ready to pick who introduced him, I ought to be on the short list anyway.
So,
I threw it out there. But anyway, he'll give his speech,
uh-huh.
and I'll promise you, I know what he's going to say. He's going to say that he doesn't deserve this award being in the Hall of Fame by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He'll credit his teammates, his coaches, and his family.
Right.
And I told the guy when he was drafted by the Bears, they sent Sports Illustrated sent a reporter down. And
mm-hmm.
I told him the same thing. I said, if he does make the Hall of Fame, he'll talk about his teammates.
There you
go. That's Brian. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. And thank you for joining us for another edition of Sports Day. I'm Tommy Reese.